Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch. And trade deadline is come and gone. Always a pretty hectic day. Astros trading Scott Feldman across the way to the Toronto Blue Jays, who the Astros are going to play today. Get a minor leaguer, Lupe Chavez, back for him. And obviously Feldman, a big part of this team, initially in the rotation and then did a really good job out of the bullpen.
He did. He was a real pro about being on this team. He was a luxury item for us where we felt like he should have been in the starting rotation. We didn't have a spot open. He went down to the bullpen. He pitched very well in the bullpen. And we just never really got him in the right role. We felt like it was a good time for us to move him on. We've got some other guys, some younger guys we want to take a look at. We also might go back to 12 position players. And given that he was, about our fifth or sixth right-handed reliever out of the pen, even though he's really good, it was a luxury item that we felt like we could move and maybe use the roster spot a little differently.
And meanwhile, Joe Musgrove coming up, replacing Feldman on the 25-man roster. Obviously a guy who's been very impressive at AAA and was in big league camp as well.
Yeah, we like what we have in Joe Musgrove. He's a guy who's going to attack the strike zone. His stuff is starting to take an uptick. He's gotten some notoriety this summer with going to the Futures game, and he's one of the better prospects in our organization. So he's worked his way up through the system. He's a big boy. He throws hard. He's got a little moxie to him. I think he's going to fill the role nicely while we have him here long term. We certainly think he's going to compete for a rotation spot in the near future, and it's going to be an Astro for a while.
Do you think right now, up here now, fills that long role out of the bullpen? I mean, you have a few guys like that.
Yeah, we didn't know what we were going to do with him. I mean, he was going to start the game tonight if Pfister couldn't go.
Right.
Now that Feldman was traded, he fills in that extra right-handed reliever. I won't ambush him with a quick get ready and come in the game. If we get him in there, it'll be more in the start your own inning and give him a chance to warm up and things like that. We don't know how long he's going to be here in that role. We'll take a look at him and then decide if that's the best way to use the roster spot. But he was the best available to serve both roles, depending on what happened.
Now, with the trade deadline passing, Astros obviously trading Scott Feldman, also traded Josh Fields, who was down at AAA but has been up in the big leagues, over to the Dodgers. Astros didn't add anyone at the major league level, but is it one of those things where, I mean, you're pretty comfortable with the guys that you have? And I know you're not responsible for making the trades and the moves, but pretty comfortable with the 25 that you have?
Yeah, no, we like our guys, and it's always hard because you want clear upgrades if you're going to do anything. And I think the deadline often makes you feel like you have to make moves or that you can make moves, and any trade is deemed an upgrade, when in reality it's got to be something that takes a step forward from what you have. And we feel good with the group we have. We were involved in a ton of talks, which leaves you at the altar a little bit, feeling like you could have done a few things if it had gone your way. The fact that it didn't doesn't mean we don't have a good team, doesn't mean that additions like Bregman and Musgrove and maybe a James Hoyt, maybe a Gurriel. Mm-hmm. Those guys are going to join us and can be nice additions as well.
A.J. Hinch, thanks for joining us.
Got it.
Back with more of Astro Launch right after this.
The following Minute of Astros History featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
Jose Cruz was just as cute as he could be, running on the tips of his toes with batting gloves flapping out of his back pockets. Astros fans loved him. Opposing pitchers sometimes had a different opinion. On this day, August 1st, 1977, Cheo struck a killing blow for a beleaguered pitcher by the name of Mark Lemangelo. The sinker balling righty was resilient as, well, Lemangelo in this game against the Pirates and the Astrodome. He pitched 11 innings and gave up 14 hits and 4 walks, and amazingly, the game was still tied 3-3 when Cruz stepped up against Rich Goose Gossage leading off the bottom of the 11th. Cheo ended it with one swing. After 3 hours and 11 minutes of work, Lemangelo got his just desserts.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid. Put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and I've got Mike Fiers with me, one of the starting pitchers for the Astros. And Mike, first of all, the last couple of games have been really good. What's been the biggest difference for you?
I think just commanding my fastball and command with every other pitch as well, and just being more aggressive and attacking these guys, and just trusting in my stuff most of all, and trusting my defense behind me, and just going out there and being myself and pitching.
I don't know if this happens to you, but I've talked to people and it happened to me. First pitch or two of an at-bat, sometimes my mind would wander And it seems like the last couple of games you're just pounding guys with first pitch strikes, and you're staying ahead of the count, being able to expand. And is that part of any of that concentration part of the deal?
Yeah, it's part of being, you know, confidence in your stuff and just trusting what Jason's, you know, putting down back there, because, you know, he does a lot of, you know, research on these guys and you know, he knows my strengths and what the good pitches are to get these guys out. So he knows what I do well. So just trusting him and trusting me as well, and just you know, not trying to give the hitters too much of too much credit, and just, you know, believe in your stuff and just attack and you know, make these guys, you know, make these guys start swinging the bat. And you know, once they start getting more aggressive, I think you expand the zone, and that goes with, you know, just the control of your pitches and, you know, spotting your pitches up well. So I think I've been doing that the last couple of games.
How hard is it not to give the hitters too much credit? I mean, isn't that one of the toughest things?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you see these guys, you know, you watch baseball every day, and you see these guys, how strong these guys are and how well they hit the ball. But, you know, it goes back to just having confidence in yourself. You know, this game is crazy. You know, you're not going to strike everybody out. You know, you gotta make these guys make outs. They make outs, you know, at least 70% of the time. So just to, you know, believe in that and believe in what you've been doing and working on. You know, just confidence and just being aggressive and attacking early on.
You mentioned preparation with Jason, having confidence in him with his preparation. What do you like to do preparation-wise? Do you like to watch video of other teams, or do you like to read swings?
I don't really do too much watching them as much as just making my pitches, you know. And like I said, Jason does the research most of on the hitters, and you know, I just got to work on, you know, making those pitches in the game. So just executing when this guy when Jason is you know, putting down, you know, curveball first pitch or, you know, fastball away, and just trying to hit that spot and not try to worry about, you know, who is in the box. And just if I make my pitch and locate the ball wherever, and I feel like we have a great chance of getting that guy out. So
talking with Mike Fiers. Mike, last question. You were involved in a trade last year at the trade deadline. How weird was that at the time? Obviously, Milwaukee was the team that drafted you, and you'd been around all those guys. They were your friends. How hard was that leaving that clubhouse, and how different was that playing for the Astros the last couple months?
It's, you know, two-way street, I guess. It's different because it was my first time ever being traded. And, you know, like you said, coming up with the Brewers and knowing a bunch of those guys, you know, you build relationships with those guys. But, you know, this game is – it's all part of it. And you end up going to a club where, you know, I get along with most of these guys as well. I mean, great group of guys that I could have a lot of fun, play the game well, a lot of young talent, you know, great coaching staff, and just all-around great team and great city to play for. And I think it helped my career in ways. And so, you know, you just take it. It's like, it's just like life. I mean, just you got to roll with it and, you know, make the best out of the opportunity you get. And, you know, no matter where I'm playing, I'm going to, you know, give everything I have. And that's what I'm doing here. And hopefully, you know, I don't have to go anywhere else. But, you know, those things pop up. But, you know, I'm loving the opportunity I have with the Astros. And, you know, hopefully I can continue that.
There you go. That's Mike Fiers. Mike, great job. The last two outings have been superb. Keep it rolling. And thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Back with more Astro Launch right after this.
Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, on your radio, the Houston Astros Radio Network.
All right, so I want to discuss this a little further, what we were talking about last inning. We mentioned Joe Musgrove may start tomorrow, may not. Not sure. It depends on whether Doug Fister and his wife have their child.
So he's probably in Houston waiting around, if not en route right now.
Right, because Fresno's too far. And actually, they're in Reno.
Right.
Reno, Nevada. But that's too far away to just say, oh, well, we'll just wait till tomorrow.
Fly in that day.
Yeah, exactly. But you were in a similar situation. First pitch to Jason Castro, and there's a strike on the inside corner. You mentioned it was around the deadline, so this time of year.
So there's a couple of starting pitchers on the Milwaukee Brewer team. One was Bill Wegman, and I believe the other, Jamie Navarro.
Uh-huh.
And they had a couple of trades in the works. And this was 1994.
The 0-1 to Castro. It's outside.
They told me to wait in the room. And if they got a phone call, I was going to take a taxi to Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City and pitch. It may be just – they said the trade could go down 20 minutes before, you know, I may have to pitch. So I was waiting around, kind of getting nervous, whether, not knowing whether or not I was going to have to go to the field.
That just sounds nerve-wracking. 1-1. And that's off the plate away. So, meanwhile, your teammates weren't aware, so you had to stay holed up in the hotel
right.
until the game started, and then you could leave your room.
Right. You know, we were holed up in the room with my baby daughter. She was just in a crib. She was super young, maybe 6 or 7 months old. And we were watching the OJ stuff in the room. I remember all that stuff was going down.
The 2-1.
July of 94.
Swing and a foul off the glove of McCann rolls to the right.
But the thing that held up the trades was the strike was looming. Remember, that was the season.
Sure.
The season was shortened. So we were just waiting around, and that's why the trade didn't go down. After a couple of days, I was just sitting around waiting and never got the call, so I ended up going back down to AAA to finish out the season.
I wonder if it was one of those things where you mentioned the strike was looming, and it did happen.
That's what they said. Some of the teams were leery to pull the trigger because of that possible strike.
2-2. That is on the inside corner for strike three, and Castro down on strikes. That's the fourth strikeout for Pelfrey. So I imagine it was probably one of those things where teams were probably saying, should I give up some of my better prospects to get a rental for a season that may not even be complete?
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of uncertainty in terms of.
There really was, yeah.
Number one, if the strike happened, how long would it last? No one really knew, and it happened in mid-July. Or no, it was mid-August.
Mid-August.
George Springer, 2-for-2. He has two of the Astros' four hits off Pelfrey, including a double. Pitch on the way, and Springer hits it foul and out of play off to the right. So, yeah, there was a lot of uncertainty about how long the strike might last. Would the rest of the season be played? What would happen if the season resumed?
Right.
Of course, none of that wound up happening, and the World Series got canceled. And season didn't resume until late April of 1995. 0-1. That's inside, a ball into strike.
And I say that just to let you know, I kind of know what Joe Musgrove feels like. He doesn't know whether or not he's pitching or not, but he still has that excitement and that anxiety on getting a chance to possibly reach a lifelong dream tomorrow.
1-1 is low. And you and I have both met Joe Musgrove on a couple of occasions, and he's a pretty high-energy guy.
High energy, yeah. I mean, intense. I would say very good work ethic. I think he's intelligent, and I think he's very talented. And if he doesn't pitch tomorrow, he'll pitch soon in the big leagues.
So that 2-1 misses inside. It's a 3-ball, 1-strike count. 6-0 Tigers, top of the fifth inning. Tigers looking for the sweep of this three-game series. Astros haven't been swept in a series since the Rangers took three straight from them May 20th, 21st, and 22nd. 3-1. Inside, ball four. Springer heads down to first. That is the first walk allowed by Pelfrey.
I guess I say that just because I know where Musgrove lies, and it's not that full-blown nervousness or anxiety that he's feeling right now because he's not exactly sure that he's going to pitch. So he's somewhere caught right in between right now.
The Houston Astros Radio Network.